السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأصفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Dear brothers and elders, honorable ulama, and there if there are sisters listening at homes, wherever, I begin in the name of Allah and thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness, and I ask Him to enlighten our hearts with His love for His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet, to forgive our sins and to guide us all to the right path, so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims, and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, it's not easy to be Muslims now, to live like Muslims and die like Muslims, but then it's never been easy. It's not easy now, it's not going to get any easier, it was never easy, it wasn't even easy in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live like a Muslim and die like a Muslim. Allah says in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think they can claim to be believers and they won't be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Just as Allah tested the people before, Allah will definitely, surely test us, so that Allah can distinguish between who are the truthful and who are merely claimants and liars. Tests are guaranteed to come our way. It's our kismet, we've got more than our fair shares of tests. It's not easy to live like a Muslim now, especially with so many different groups and things around, like Hazrat Maulana was saying, so many isms, so many different groups among people who all call themselves Muslims, to the extent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied the emergence of 73 different sects. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sadiqul amin, rahmatul lil alamin, khatamun nabiyyin, sayyidul awwalin wal akhirin. The Prophet said, ya'ti ala ummati kama ata ala bani Israel. My ummat will follow, there will come a time upon my ummat like it came upon the bani Israel. Hadwan na'al bin na'al. So much so, just as when you put two shoes left and right, no, against each other, soul to soul, and one is a total reflection of the other. Similarly, the Prophet said, my ummat will follow in the footsteps of Bani Israel. Hatta in kana minhum man ata ummahu ala niyatan. If there was a time a man put himself to shame, humiliated himself, disgraced himself with his mother openly, لَكَانَ فِي أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَسْنَعُ ذَلِكَ. There will definitely be a man in this ummat who will put himself to shame in the same way. إِنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ تَفَرَّقَ تَلَاثِينَتَيْنِ وَسَبْعِينَ مِلَّةً. Bani Israel became divided into 72 sects. This ummat will go one step further. وَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى 73 مِلَّةً. This ummah will become divided into 73. كُلُّهُمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا مِلَّةً وَاحِدًا. They will all be doomed to Jahannam except one group, one millat. إِلَّا مِلَّةً وَاحِدًا. And the Sahaba inquired, Ya Rasulullah, who is that fortunate group? And the Prophet said, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي. Those who follow in my footsteps and the footsteps of my companions. The Prophet didn't just say, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ. Those who follow my footsteps. Many people nowadays, there are all sorts of claims, all sorts of slogans flying around. Many say, only what Rasulullah said. Yes, what Rasulullah said, but Rasulullah just didn't keep himself alone. He accompanied his companions with him.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined his companions to show us and to tell us and to indicate to us the real identity of that saved sect. They will follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah. That is known as Sunnah. So we are Ahlu Sunnah, the people of the teachings and the footsteps and the practical demonstration. And the life of Rasulullah wa ashabi. The Prophet's companions were his jamaat. They were his students. They were his congregation. So we are not just Ahlu Sunnah. We are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Not just what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And we have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he was followed by his companions. We pray like the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was observed to pray and was and by the people around him, behind him. Rasulullah prayed in front of not Imam Bukhari even. Yes, Imam Abu Hanifa didn't see the Prophet praying either, but neither did Ibn Taymiyyah or Albani or Bin Baz. Who did see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying was his companions. In everything, we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he was followed by his companions, his students, his disciples, his companions, and in Quran as well. Allah makes mention of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has made mention of the companions of Rasulullah not just in the Quran. Allah made mention of the companions of Rasulullah in Torah and Injil. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. Allah gave their example in front of Musa alayhi salam. And do we know who was Musa alayhi salam? Musa Kalimullah, Isa Ruhullah. Allah said to them as though, oh Musa, you have an ummat. Oh Isa, you have an ummat. But my beloved Prophet will have a special ummat. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Just as Allah introduced Rasulullah, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Previous Prophets knew Rasulullah. In fact, Allah says in the Quran, even previous Prophets, they were given nubuwwat and risalat on the condition, if given the opportunity, they will also believe in Rasulullah and follow him. This isn't a Zaif hadith from Fazal-e Amal. Many people are allergic to Fazal-e Amal. All sorts of people are allergic to all sorts of things. Many have nut allergies, many have all other allergies. Many people are allergic to Fazal-e Amal. But they lay accusation, oh, full of fabricated stories. Zaif hadith is, Fazal-e Amal is not full of fabricated stories. There are hundreds of verses of Quran, many sahih hadiths from Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmizi and Abu Dawud and other books of hadiths as well. Allah has given this book acceptance throughout the world, and probably after Quran, the book which is read the most and benefited the most from ulama to the general man at home, wherever, on the streets. Allahu Akbar. The ummah has benefited so much, hundreds of millions of people worldwide without exaggeration have benefited from this wonderful book. And this attribute to the goodness of the Shaykh who wrote it and his acceptance and ikhlas in the eyes of Allah. Anyway, this isn't from Zaif hadith from anywhere. This is in Quran, Surah Ali Imran. وَإِذَاخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا أَتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ. When I make you nabis, then I send my rasul, then you will have to believe in him and assist him. Not just believe, but help him as well. أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي. Do you agree? قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا. Ya Allah, we agree. Allah gave other prophets nubuwwat or risalat and risalat on the condition and terms they will have to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Allah gave them an opportunity when they had the opportunity to offer their iman upon Rasulullah in the and pray behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will give Isa alayhi salam an opportunity to come and help Rasulullah by helping his ummah in the very difficult times when Dajjal will come. He will come down again, and his descent and return to this world has been prophesied by Rasulullah and stressed in very strong terms. والذي نفسي بيده ليوشكن أن ينزل فيكم ابن مريم حكما عدلا. I swear by him who holds my life in his hands, very soon, surely, definitely, Isa ibn Maryam will come. Who will come? Isa ibn Maryam. One man, he thought he is the Messiah. He called himself the promised Messiah. He was son of Chiragh Bibi. His name was Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. Rasulullah said, the one who will come down will be Ibn Maryam. But anyway, inshallah, that's for another night, on another occasion, in another place somewhere. But today, inshallah, like I said, previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam knew Rasulullah, and hence they told their followers, there is a Rasul coming. He is not just a Nabi, he is Nabiul Anbiya. Other prophets were blessed with Nubuwwat and Risalat because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So other prophets, other nations and the prophets knew Rasulullah, and the prophets told their own nations about the ummah of Rasulullah and his companions as well. So Bani Israel, they used to know, not only Rasulullah, when they would see him, they would recognize him, they knew, this is Muhammadur Rasulullah, Ahmad. They used to know Rasulullah as Ahmad. And the last of the prophets, the seal of all the prophets. This is why when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina, there was already a Jewish community in Medina. The Jews had come from Palestine. What were they doing in Medina? And ulama have explained and told that the reason why they were here in Medina, because they knew Rasulullah would be coming and settling here, they wanted to be there. So when Rasulullah comes, they can welcome him. But when Rasulullah did come, then Allahu Akbar. Before, whenever the Jews used to have a battle with their enemies, ولما جاءهم كتاب من عند الله مصدق لإمامهم وكانوا من قبل يستفتحون على الذين كفروا. Whenever they used to have battles, they used to pray for victory with the wasila of Rasulullah. They used to say, Ya Allah, with the wasila of your final Nabi who will be coming, Ya Allah, grant us victory, and Allah would give them victory. Even the Jews used to make wasila of Rasulullah. Now the ummah doesn't want to make wasila of Rasulullah, and they think it is shirk. La hawla wa la quwwata. Sahaba used to make wasila of Rasulullah. Allah has commanded the Muslims, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila. Make wasila in the presence of Allah. In Bukhari, Imam Bukhari has brought a narration from Umar radiyallahu anhu. And do we know who is Umar? The Prophet said, Law kana ba'di nabiyyan lakana Umar ibn al-Khattab. It would have been Umar. The Prophet said, Oh Umar, walladhi nafsi biyadihi. You know, when we say something, the other guy says, don't lie, man. What are you talking about? I swear by Allah. When do you say? When you say qasam, when you want to convince someone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he said, he wanted to say, he could have said, no problem. But the Prophet said, walladhi nafsi biyadihi. Oh Umar, I swear by Allah who holds my life in his hands. Ma laqiyaka shaytanu salikan fajjan qat illa wasalaka fajjan ghayra fajjik. Oh Umar, when you walk a path, Shaitan can't stand it. He has to run. And when Umar radiallahu anhu became a mu'min, became a Muslim, embraced Islam, Jibreel came down. Ya Rasulullah, are you happy at the Islam of Umar? The Prophet said, I'm very happy. Jibreel said, Ya Rasulullah, not only you, all the angels are happy at the Islam of Umar. All the angels are happy at the Islam of Umar. The Prophet said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي مَا قَبْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ مُحَدَّثُونَ. In the nations before you, there were people Allah used to talk to. They weren't Nabis, but Allah just liked talking to them. Allah is Allah. Allahu Samad. Allah can do whatever Allah wills. Allah makes friendship with people. Allah is a true friend. One of Allah's names, Al-Wali. Wali means a friend. Allah has kept the door of friendship open till the day of Qiyamah. Nubuwwat is closed. Nubuwwat, the door of Nubuwwat is closed, not just closed, locked, sealed. And Allahu Akbar, welded, nobody can open it. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani tried, he didn't get anywhere. And just as the door of Nubuwwat is closed, Nubuwwat is not the only door closed. Understand, the door of Nubuwwat is closed, it's locked, jammed, sealed. And just as the door of Nubuwwat is sealed, the door of Sahabiyat is sealed as well. Bina koi Nabi aaye, na koi Sahabi bane. Who is a Sahabi? Someone who's seen a prophet. No more prophet will come. So because no more prophet will come, no more Sahabi will come. So not only the door of Nubuwwat is closed, the door of Sahabiyat is closed, but the door of the friendship of Allah is open. Allah is a true friend. Allah waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is a friend of all the believers, leads them from darkness into light. So I was saying, Allahu Akbar. The previous prophets, they used to know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had introduced, and they used to talk about, and they used to talk about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as the people, they knew Rasulullah, when they would see him, they would recognize him. And they used to make wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Bukhari has narrated, in the 17th year after Hijrah, there was a drought in Medina. 17th year. Rasulullah passed away, what year? 11th year after Hijrah. 6 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a drought. Hazrat Umar took the people out to make dua for rain. Imam Bukhari has narrated this in his Sahih. Hazrat Umar prayed, Ya Allah, Allahumma inna kunna natawassalu ilayka bin nabiyyik. Ya Allah, we have been making, not we made. Ulama will tell you, ask Maulana sahab, Hazrat sahab, what does inna kunna mean? It's known as mazi istimrari, continuous past. I used to go, Maulana says, I used to pass this one. How many times? Many times. If he would have passed once, he would have said, I passed by this way once. But Maulana said, I used to pass by. Meaning he passed many times. Hazrat Umar said, Allahumma inna kunna natawassalu ilayka bin nabiyyik. Ya Allah, we used to make wasila of your prophet. In other words, in all their affairs. And up to 6 years after Rasulullah passed away. So they continued making wasila. Some people say, oh, wasila of Rasulullah is shirk after he's passed away. If there is something which is shirk, just as it is shirk to make sajda on a qabr, now the man's passed away. If that man was alive, would it be permissible to make sajda on his feet? No. So if something is shirk, whether he's living it's shirk, whether he's dead is shirk. So if they used to make wasila when he was alive, Allah has commanded us in the Quran, Imam Bukhari has reported it as Umar used to do it amongst all the companions, and he didn't say just I used to do it. Allahumma inni kuntu atawassalu ilayka bi nabiyyik. Allahumma inna kunna. We all used to make it. All Sahaba used to make wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Rasulullah was alive. So if it was shirk after his death, it would have been same shirk when he was alive as well. But that's not the case. Wasila Allah has commanded in the Quran. Imam Bukhari has reported it. Sahaba used to practice it. And it's one of the things which is the beauty of our deen, shows us the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only Sahaba, Bani Israel used to make wasila of Rasulullah long before even Rasulullah came to this world, and Allah used to give them victory. Falamma ja'ahum ma arafu kafaru bi. When Rasulullah came, they recognized him, but in spite of recognizing him, they rejected him. And then because they rejected him, Allah says, فَلَّعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah's curse be upon these kafirs. Not because they used to make wasila, but because they denied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So just as the people knew Rasulullah, they used to know Abu Bakr. They used to know Umar. They used to know companions of Rasulullah. Just a brief example. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's declared Nubuwwat, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had gone to Yemen on a trade business mission. When he got there, he came across a monastery, and the monk came out to see him. And when the monk saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, if I'm not mistaken, then you are from Makkah. He said, yes. And if I'm not mistaken, you are from Quraysh. He said, yes. And if I'm not mistaken, you are from Banu Taym. He said, yes. And he said, if I'm not mistaken, if you allow me, I would like to have a look at your stomach because there is a mark on your stomach. He goes, what do? Because I know there is a prophet to come, and I see you will be the first man to acknowledge him and accept him. I see his signs in you, and I know you will be the first man to accept him. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lifted his shirt and showed him. And the monk confirmed, you are Abu Bakr. You are the man who will be the first person to accept Islam at the hand. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was passing through Sham. Allah, and he came across a monk similarly. And the monks, because they were the people of knowledge, just as Rasulullah went to Sham, and a monk, he came out and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when Rasulullah would sit anywhere, out of respect for elders, he would allow the elders to sit in the shade. Rasulullah would stand away. And the monk saw that the trees would sway to give Rasulullah shade. When Rasulullah was approaching, he saw cloud providing cover over Rasulullah. The monk came out, who is this boy? Who is responsible for him? People said, Abu Talib. He said, please don't take him any further. Send him back. He said, why? He is to be the last Nabi. And when the Jews and the Christians see him, they will try and harm him. Don't put him through this trouble. Send him back. And so Abu Talib sent him back. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling and a monk came out. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting under a tree similarly. And the monk said, he came out to him. He said, you man, write me this piece of paper. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling. He was tired, hungry. He entertained him, gave him food, drink, and a place to rest. And then he said to him, write me this paper, please. He says, what do you want me to write? He said, there will come a time when you will conquer these lands, and when you will conquer these lands, I want you to give me immunity that this church of mine, my monastery will be spared and it will remain in my control. Hazrat Umar said, just to get him out of the way, I agreed to sign the paper. Many years passed when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu came to Jerusalem, because the Jews, they said, if you come, if you bring your Amir, we will hand him over the keys of the town without a battle. So that Umar had come, this monk came out and he showed him the paper. He said, you remember this? Hazrat Umar said, yes. He goes, you have to give me, you promised me already. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, that was then, I was no one, I didn't know anything, but now this is not my personal property, this belongs to the Ummah, I can't do anything without Mashwara. So the monks used to know Rasulullah. They would know Abu Bakr and they would know Umar especially. Even all of them knew them. But today people don't want to recognize them. People today like to bark. They curse on the internet. 30, 40 years ago, if you didn't know these things, perhaps okay, you were just coming to pray your namaz, mashallah. When Jamaat comes, you sit in Talim, you go for 3 days, bit of gush there and there, no problem, mashallah, Mubarak. And you live like a Muslim, you die like a Muslim. But now people are throwing rubbish in your path. They are not in your path, they're corrupting your mind, your iman, your aqidah, your belief. They are taking you away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions and throwing you into the cursed land of kufr. Unknowingly, people are being injected this poison, cancer, this virus. When people catch an infection, you can cure an infection. But when a virus flows in the air, you can't combat a virus. And then it leaves its mark. Now these people from all over the world has become one global village. From all over, people are saying and throwing everything in the air. And now with these satellite channels, in your homes, your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your wives, they are watching these, and you got these smartphones. And whenever somebody wants something, they just ask Sheikh Google. Sheikh Google and Mufti Twitter. Mufti Twitter gives you, then he tweets. Allah, he tweets, Allahu Akbar. And they're throwing this filth in your minds and Allahu Akbar, all sorts of things. So now you have to know, you got no choice. If you want to live like a Muslim, as Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. If you want to live like a Muslim and die like a Muslim, you got no choice. You have to sit here and listen to these bayans so that you can safeguard your iman and pick up some antidote. You know what an antidote is? If you given poison, sorry, it's too late, man, now. The poison will already have damaged your organs, your liver, your heart, your mind, and it preps your eyes and your ears, made you blind. You can't understand anymore. Now once people catch these infections, they become Qadianis and Shias. You can give them 1,001 dalils. They are not coming back. Because Allah has said in the Quran, Allah won't let them come back. Allah won't let them come back. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا لَن تُقْبَلَ تَوْبَتُهُمْ Those who adopt kufr after iman, Allah bless them with iman and Islam. Then they decided to buy kufr. Not just buy, take it free. In the UK, in the West, we have supermarkets, Tesco. I don't know if you've heard the names, Tesco, Asda, Sainsbury's. I don't know if you have them here. But and they give offers, buy one, get one free. You buy one thing and you get it free, Allahu Akbar. These people who buy kufr and you get it free, you don't even have to pay for it. They come and lure you. And those who fall for it, ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا they carry on. Allah says, لَن تُقْبَلَ تَوْبَتُهُمْ Allah will never ever accept their tawbah. In other words, Allah will never give them tawfiq to repent. So once a person's become a Qadiani, once he's become a Shia, you can give them all the explanation of the world. He's never coming back. Allah says, كَيْفَ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ How will Allah guide such people? Why should Allah guide such people? كَيْفَ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ وَشَهِدُوا أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ حَقٌّ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ They have bore testimony and a witness that Rasul was haq. وَجَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ Allah gave them evidence. Allah gave them hidayat. Allah gave them birth in houses of Muslims. They used to pray with Muslims, read Quran with Muslims. And then they decided to take up kufr. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ Allah will never give hidayat to such zalims. So anybody who's become a Qadiani, become a Shia, don't take my word, try. They are never coming back. They are gone. They are gone for good from your hands and they are doomed to Jahannam. When mashallah, because they were near deen somewhere or just here and there, they had some love for deen. So somebody presented some evidence, forged, fabricated, distorted, corrupted, and then they misled them, confused them. Now they've become dalil proof. You know what dalil proof means? Like waterproof. Something waterproof, what happens? Water doesn't get in. Your watches sometimes are waterproof. So people don't bother taking them off when they're doing wuzu. Why? Waterproof. Now these guys will become dalil proof. You can give all the dalils. Before mashallah they went in jamaat. They had love for deen. Mashallah. Want to follow sunnah, commands of Allah. Brother, you not even praying like Rasulullah. And now you got to follow sahih hadith, brother. This is all bidah, fabricated. Now they will inject the virus. Now he's becoming dalil proof. Then you can show him Bukhari, Muslim, Quran, whatever, all the dalils. He's never coming back. So this is, you got to build your defenses before the flood set in. Once the flood sets in, sorry man, the masjid is gone, your house is flooded, too late. So don't think, oh yeah, we here are safe. There's no Qadiani here. In our masjid, there's no Shia. They might not be a Shia now, but when he goes out, is the daughter, your daughter going to university? Your son going to university? They are doing muta. You heard of muta? Don't take my word, take BBC's word. BBC did a special report. The Shias are aggressively promoting muta in universities and especially in the West and targeting Sunni girls. So that they can enjoy at their expense, ruin their lives. Ruin their lives, then these girls are ruined. And why? Because you didn't bother. You thought you were safe. Oh, these are Maulana. I go places. Maulana, please don't talk about controversial issues. Not in our masjid.
We don't need controversy. You don't need controversy. And you wait. It's coming your way. And when it comes, it'll be... This is why La ilaha illallah. It's controversy. La, you got to understand what not to believe. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Do you know how many times you recite in your life, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ? Have you ever thought about it? 32 times a day, 17 rakats obligatory, 3 rakats witr wajib, 12 rakats sunnate muakkida. So 17 plus 3 is? Plus 12 is? 32. That's in a day. In a day you recite. That's if you pray. And then in 1 year, multiply that by 365, 11,800 in 1 year. You start praying when you at 10 years old, at least when you're 60. 1 year, 11,800 times. In 10 years, 118,000 times. In 50 years, more, almost 600,000 times, you recite, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. You stop there? صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. You stop there? Then what do you say? غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Ya Allah, guide us to the right path, the path of those whom you favored. Ya Allah, don't put us on the path of people who earned your anger and who went astray. You say it in front of Allah 600,000 times, but you don't want to know what not to believe. When you became a Muslim, when your parents taught you, what did they say? Allahu la ilaha illahu? No, la ilaha. You got to learn all the wrong paths as well. When somebody comes, you, when you want to go somewhere, you don't know where to go. Brother, can you tell me the way to the masjid? Brother, sometimes they will say, go straight and right, left, whatever. But don't go past that. You've got to know when you go to a doctor, doctor, I'm ill, sick, whatever. Here, take this medicine, sugar, heart problem, cholesterol. You got to stop eating red meat. Stop these fried samosas, pakoras. This chili got to stop. And whatever spices and all these things got to stop. You come home. Darling, please, no more chilies in my food. Why? Doctor say. Who's he to say? Allah has made it halal for you. Do you ever say to a doctor, doctor, who the hell are you, man? Allah has made milk halal. Allah has made meat halal. Allah has made chicken halal. Allah has made this pakora samosas, you know, they're all halal. Who the hell are you? You're even a kafir. Will you say that to him?
No,
you won't. So you know what to eat, what not to eat. You got to know your iman, what to believe and what? What not to believe. What keeps your iman safe? What keeps your iman? What ruins your iman? And these issues are to do with your iman. Iman. On the day of Qiyamah, the first checkpost. There'll be different checkposts. The first checkpost is iman and kufr. Anybody not his iman isn't proper straight to Jahannam. Some people will come to Rasulullah. The Prophet said, "Inni faratukum ala al-hawd." I will wait for you by the pond. You know which pond? Kawthar. "Inni faratukum ala al-hawd. Wala yaridanna alayya qawaman fa'arifuhum wa yarifunani." Then people will come to me. I will recognize them. How? From mashallah, they used to make wudu. So their arms will shine, their faces will shine, their feet will shine. They'll be shining. Why? They used to pray. They used to come to the masjid. So Rasulullah would recognize them. ثُمَّ يُحَالُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ. Then there will be an obstruction. Obstruction, diversion, sorry, blockage. You can't go any further. Rasulullah will say, "And let them come, إِنَّهُمْ مِنِّي." They are my followers. And the angels will say, "Ya Rasulullah, please, with due respect, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُ بَعْدَكَ." Ya Rasulullah, you don't know what they invented after you. They didn't follow, they didn't stay on the same beliefs as you. They weren't happy to remain content with what you gave them. They invented all different things, all different beliefs, all different ideas. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around, who was the first man to believe? Abu Bakr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadiq al-ameen, said, "Anybody I presented Islam, everybody, they hesitated, thought about it." You want to go to somewhere, you want to buy a car, you get under the car 10 times.
And you check left, right and center all around. And then before you part with 1,000 rands or 5,000 whatever. You want to buy anything, house, you check 10 times. Survey, whatever. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't hesitate for a moment. Rasulullah said, I am Allah's Nabi. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, I already believe. Abu Bakr believed in Rasulullah even before Rasulullah declared. Abu Bakr was waiting for the day Rasulullah would say, I am Rasulullah. And Abu Bakr would say, I already believe you are Rasulullah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he saw Rasulullah praying. He asked Rasulullah, Ya, what's this? The Prophet said, Allah has blessed me with the nubuwwat. I'm praying to Allah. Ali, you should believe as well. Hazrat Ali said, I want to talk to my father. I want to talk to my father, make mashura. The Prophet said, up to you, but don't make mashura with you. Keep it to yourself for a minute, for a while. Then the next day, Allah opened his heart as well. And he accepted. Everybody else, and there's a few who had absolutely no hesitation. Hazrat Khadija similarly had no hesitation. In fact, Hazrat Khadija was also waiting for the day when Rasulullah would come home and say, I am Rasulullah. And Hazrat Khadija would say, I already believe. In fact, the reason why she married Rasulullah was she thought that he will be Khatamun Nabiyyin Rahmatul Lil Alameen. But Abu Bakr, Rasulullah said, he is the only independent man. Hazrat Khadija also embraced, but she was expected, she was his wife. And wives are expected to follow the husband anyway. But Abu Bakr didn't know, oh Rasulullah, anything. And then he did so much for Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has done me any favor, I have repaid all their favors except Abu Bakr. Allah will personally repay him on the day of Qiyamah. Ma nafani malu ahadin qat ma nafani malu Abi Bakr. No one's wealth has given me as much benefit as the wealth of Abu Bakr. He put everything in the service of Rasulullah. He gave his young daughter Aisha radiallahu anha to be the blessed and the noble and beloved wife of Rasulullah. Umar ibn As radiallahu anha has narrated, Ya Rasulullah, he asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, who do you love the most? Ayyun nasi ahabbu ilayk. You know what Rasulullah said? Aisha. He said, Minar rijal. What I meant was, Ya Rasulullah, from the men, the Prophet said, Abuha, her father. Her father, Rasulullah loves Hazrat Aisha the most, and from the men, her father the most. And people have the audacity to bark at as Abu Bakr and Aisha. Radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. When Rasulullah came to Medina, he married a number of other women as well. And all of Rasulullah's wives are our mothers. They are our
mothers.
They are our
mothers.
Says who? Says Allah. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. Her Nabi is dearest to the believers, and his wives are the mothers of the believers. Allah forbid that such a day should ever come in the life of any Muslim when he goes home and shows any disrespect to his mother. May Allah never ever bring such a day. If anybody's got a mother and father, give them all the love, respect that you can. Before Allah takes them away, they are your jannat. Just you walking down the street nowadays, everything is promoted through women, semi-naked. They got nice big poster, whatever, phone, car, whatever. You might be somebody walking, you might be impressed. But to sneak a glance or to stare on the day of Qiyamah, molten rods will be poked into the eyes of such people. But you go home, and your mother might have a wrinkled face. Teeth might have fallen out. Dentures. She can't see properly. Whatever. Wrinkled face. But you look at her and you stare at her and you smile. You know what Rasulullah said? Allah will give you the reward of one Hajj. You might have to spend, I don't know, 50,000 rand to go to Hajj. But you go home and that old woman... And that old man, many people, what they say, my old man's on my case 24/7. Have you ever heard young people say that?
Yes.
They talk about their mom and their mother and father, those blessed souls, that blessed noble woman who carried you in her stomach for 9 months, and when she gave you birth, she was struggling between life and death, and then she nursed you, and now you have the audacity to say, my old woman, man, she's on my case 24/7. My old man, he used to work so hard to bring you your milk and your clothes and your toys and to pay for your fees. And now you say, my old man, as though you're not going to grow old. So don't worry, it's how you address them. Your children will address you the same, in fact, worse. One young man, he was taking his father. He was fed up with him. Because when parents grow old, old man is an old man. He doesn't know what he's saying, talking, doing, whatever. So children, they get fed up. So one young man, educated, professional, he took his father to the countryside. Dad, I'm taking you to the countryside. His plan was to just push him over into the river. So he brought him there. He chose a nice spot, easy spot, to push his father in. When he was about to push him in, the father said, son, don't push me here. He said, why not? Because that's where I pushed my father. So when you push me here, get ready to come here yourself. But the son, Allah wanted to guide him. He realized. He brought his father back home. You go home, your mother, she might not be pretty anymore. She might not, her face might be wrinkled, but dentures. May Allah never bring such a day when a man goes home and says, you're not my mother, I don't care, you're not my mother anymore. Give them the respect, all the respect you can give. Allahu Akbar. But if somebody does, you go home and say to, sometimes she might be your mother, she might not be your mother. In many families, they adopt children. And sometimes, and the real mother passed away, the father married another woman, and so that she can look after you as well. And she's not your real mother, but because then you don't know, she was brought into your home to look after you. So this woman might be your mother, she might not be your mother. So if a person goes home and says, I don't care, today, from now on, I don't respect you like my mother. Whatever reason might be, may Allah never bring such a day. You'll be very sinful, very deprived, but the qismat. But you won't become a kafir because of that. But if somebody barks and says, Aisha is not my mother, Hafsa is not my mother, Umme Habiba is not my mother, Maimuna is not my mother, Zainab bint Jahsh is not my mother, wallahi he will become a kafir immediately because Allah says she is your mother. An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. They are your mothers, so give them the respect that your mother deserves. Ya nisa an-nabiyyi lastunna ka ahadin min an-nisa. The wives of the Prophet, you think they are ordinary women? You think they are ordinary women? And when you grow up, you want to get a nice woman to be your wife. And when a man, his son grows up, he wants, if you know a nice girl, Maulana, please let me know, my son, I'm ready to get him married. Or your daughter, when somebody has a daughter, she grows up, and then the man, he wants to get a nice rishta, nice spouse for his daughter. You want to get a nice bride for your son. Don't you think Allah wants the best for His Prophet? You want to get a nice husband, nice son-in-law, nice husband for your daughter. Don't you think Rasulullah would want a nice son-in-law, nice husband for his daughter? So when Rasulullah gave Usman radiallahu anhu one daughter, Ruqayya, she passed away. Then Rasulullah gave him his other daughter remaining. Zainab was the eldest. She was married to her cousin Abu al-As bin Rabi. Then Hazrat Ruqayya was married to Hazrat Usman. Husband and wife made hijrah through Habsha. They came back to Medina. The day Rasulullah went to Badr, Hazrat Ruqayya was ill. And daughter of Rasulullah was ill. The Prophet said, Usman, you stay back. Look after Ruqayya. Look after Ruqayya. And Hazrat Usman didn't participate in Badr, but Rasulullah gave him a share as though he had participated in Badr. When Rasulullah came back from Badr, Ruqayya radiallahu anha had passed away. And the Muslims had just, those who remained with Hazrat Usman, the Prophet was coming to Medina, they were coming out of Baqi. Then Rasulullah gave him Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. And then she passed away a few years later as well. Then the Prophet said to Usman,
I don't have any more daughters. If I had 40 daughters, I would have given them all to you. So you think Rasulullah didn't care for Hazrat Usman? You think Rasulullah didn't choose the right husband for his daughter? And you think you want the best bride for your son? You think Allah didn't want the best bride for his Nabi? So when Allah would send Jibreel, Jibreel, go down, comfort my beloved Prophet and tell him, she is to be your bride. Rasulullah said, Jibreel would bring me a handkerchief and he would show me, Ya Rasulullah, she is going to be your bride. And I would say in my heart, well, if Allah has written her to be my bride, she, Allah will make her my bride. And then Allah did make her Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bride. And Rasulullah cared so much for Aisha. When the Prophet came to Medina, he married a number of different women. And then he married Aisha radiallahu anha as well. And Rasulullah loved her so much, so dearly. She was the daughter of his most beloved friend. And Allahu Akbar. And her mother was Ummi Ruman. You know why she was known as Ummi Ruman? Rasulullah said, if anybody wants to see a hoor of Jannat in this world, then she's the wife of Abu Bakr, Ummi Ruman. And girls usually go after their mothers. If the mother's good looking, mashallah, the daughters are also good looking. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she had intelligence, she had beauty, she had obedience, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Rasulullah said, فَضْلُ عَيْشَةِ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى الطَّعَامِ. You know, in food, you want what? You want the food to smell nice. So that as soon as you come home, what's cooking, dear? Dal or KFC? What you got at home? The day it's dal, they say hartal. Children go hungry. So the day people, mashallah, you know, food must smell nice. Look nice. Taste nice. Mashallah, when you know, that looks delicious. And then, oh, dal, it tastes really nice. What you put in it? Mashallah. So similarly, in a woman, her looks, her beauty, intelligence, and then for a woman to be obedient to her husband, Allahu Akbar, nurun ala nur ala nur. Aisha radiallahu anha had all these qualities. Allah chose the best for his beloved Prophet. And Allahu Akbar. So when the Prophet came to Medina and a number of wives, the Prophet would visit them. He would spend one night with each of his wives. Many people, you know, they get married and, brother, mashallah, your first marriage, yeah, inshallah, I have niyat for four. Niyat for four, but they can't look after even one. They can't look after even one. Many times brothers get two wives, the first one's crying. The second one, she's younger, mashallah, and whatever, he's all crazy about her. But the first one who looked after him when he needed looking after, now he's forgotten all that. And she's crying and he's crazy about this new one. Allahu Akbar, to treat them equally. Rasulullah treated his wives equally, but he would say, Ya Allah, when it comes to Aisha, Ya Allah, I can't help what's in my heart. Ya Allah, don't catch me for what I feel. I try my best, but my heart, Ya Allah, is not in my control. So the Sahaba used to see when the Prophet used to go to Aisha, he was happy. So they would send him presents. They would wait for the day as it was Aisha's turn. And then they would send presents so that Rasulullah was already happy. He was coming to Aisha's house. So he would be even more happy because we give him something as a present. So they would wait for the day. Other wives of Rasulullah, they came, Ya Rasulullah, please tell the people, you come and spend the night with us a day. If they want to say, they don't have to wait a whole week. They can just pass it whenever. But the people didn't listen. They would wait till it's Aisha's turn. So the other wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they came to Fatima. Fatima, Rasulullah never says no to you. So you go and tell Rasulullah to tell the people that that's what they should do. Whenever they want to send something, they should send. So when Fatima came to Rasulullah with the proposal presented by the other wives of Rasulullah, the Prophet said, Fatima, when he comes to Aisha, don't say anything to me. Don't say anything to me when he comes to Aisha. Are you not happy with the woman your father loves? Are you not happy with the woman your father loves? Even when he came to Aisha, Rasulullah didn't want to hear anything from Fatima. Do you think the people who bark at Aisha now, they will have anything in the eyes of Rasulullah? So when they come and they say what they say, they will think they are Muslims. But when they come thinking they are Muslim, they want to see Rasulullah on the pond, angels will stop them. And they used to pray. They have their temples. They pray
They do everything. They go to Hajj as well. They might be doing whatever. But Wallahi Lazim, when they come, Rasulullah won't want to face them. Rasulullah won't even want to see them. In fact, angels won't even let them come near Rasulullah. The woman Rasulullah loved, the people Rasulullah loved. People have the audacity, they say, when Rasulullah passed away, everybody became murtad. Every significant Shia book will tell you that. Hayatul Qulub, Mullah Baqir Majlisi, Radar Majusi. He's written, and if you ask, I was showing the brothers, you type on your smartphones, Mullah Baqir Majlisi. It will tell you the most powerful Shia scholar of all times. He's written books, Hayatul Qulub, Jilaul Uyun, and they're categorically, specifically, plain black and white, clear terms, he says. When Rasulullah passed away, with the exception of Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Miqdad, Salman Farsi, Abu Zar, everybody else, na'udhu billah, became murtad. Do you think they became murtad? No, they were true believers. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar especially. The Prophet said, Ana wa Abu Bakr wa Umar khuliqna min turbatin wahida wa fiha nudfan. Me and Abu Bakr and Umar have been created from the same clay, and that is where we will be buried. Once the Prophet was with Abu Bakr and Umar, Hazrat Abu Bakr on his right, Umar on his left, Rasulullah put his hand on their shoulders and he said, Hakaza nubathu yawm al qiyamah. This is how we will rise on the day of Qiyamah. Abu Bakr and Umar are with Rasulullah. They have been with him 1400 years to the present day. Will be with him till the day of Qiyamah. Will rise with him on the day of Qiyamah. And shall be with him on the pond and then beyond for eternity. Anybody wants to burn, can burn all the way to hell. Abu Bakr and Umar with Rasulullah. See, anybody can separate them. Nobody will be able to separate them. Hazrat Abu Bakr was with Rasulullah all the way. From the ghar to the mazar till the day of Qiyamah. Then shall rise with him, be with him on the pond and then beyond. If anybody wants to burn, then let him burn in hell. Because that is where he will burn. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe. This is the prophecy, the ayat I recited. There are some prophecies in the Quran. Shias don't believe in the Quran. And they say they are Muslims. They claim to be Muslims. They pray, but they don't believe in the Quran. This is why you will not find a single Shia Hafiz who can recite the whole Quran from Ba Bismillah, Alhamdulillah to Seen Wan Nas. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmahullah said this 150 years ago that Marde Qalandar, because of whom you are sitting here today. You might think how Allah blessed him. He established Darul Uloom Deoband, and from there all the offshoots. And mashallah, Maulana, all these are all the sons of the sons of the sons of the sons of Darul Uloom Deoband, spiritual sons. These are all flowers, mashallah, all these nice flowers from the garden of Deoband. Alhamdulillah. Hazrat said this 150 years ago, you will never find a single Shia Hafiz who can recite the whole Quran in one sitting. Somebody might be able to recite a quarter sipara, half sipara every day, whatever, revise, make up, catch up, and then recite to you. But by the time he gets to the next bit, he'll probably have forgotten the first bit. Last year in the month of March, there was a Khatm al-Nubuwwat conference. Similarly, the Shias, you will never find a Hafiz. The Qadiani, you will never find a Hafiz. Because the Hazrat gave a dalil. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those who believe, recite Quran as you ought to be recited. So recitation of Quran in a nice, good, wonderful way, purely and totally as it ought to be recited, is a sign of Iman. Because Shia's hearts are filled with kufr. And because of Qadiani heart, similarly, Allah will not allow the noor of Quran to be preserved totally in their hearts. There was a conference and I didn't plan to, but on the spur of the moment, I was talking something along these lines. I'm a simple Maulvi, Alhamdulillah. So I said, if any Shia Qadiani can come, recite the whole Quran, I'll give him £1,000 cash. From beginning till the end. I said, I'll give him break for namaz, break for dinner, need to go to the toilet, whatever. You start, then you recite the whole Quran with breaks.
but continuously. 1,000 pounds. Now I'll double it, 2,000 pounds. There was a nice brother sitting in front of me like him. And he said, Maulana, what's 2,000? Make it 5,000. So we said, okay. I said, don't worry, your money is not going anywhere. But inshallah, because of you, I'll say 5,000. So we put out the challenge. Some brothers have seen it. You seen it on the YouTube? Some brothers have seen it on the YouTube. And I gave people 1 month to register their challenge, to accept the challenge. A month of March, then I said, I'll give you 1 month to register your challenge. I'll give you 1 month to revise on top of that. So 2 months, in fact. Then I said, okay, you might think I'll give you 10 mistakes to make as well. If you can recite the whole Quran with 10 mistakes, many, alhamdulillah, our students can recite the whole Quran without a single mistake. There are hundreds, alhamdulillah, thousands. And I said, okay, 10 mistakes. I said, okay, I'll double 20 mistakes. But wallahi al-azim, not a single Shia or a Qadiani dared come forward. Allah won't allow them. Allah doesn't need them. Allah chooses His servants to preserve His message. In the Quran, there's a prophecy. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, man yartadda minkum an deenihi. There will come a time when people will become murtad. Minkum an deenihi. And this is, we've got a Quran here, one of, you know, those 13 line Qurans. Yeah, I think this one.
Explain to them what is murtad.
You see this Quran, mashallah, this 13 line Quran. One beauty, mashallah, in this print especially is where a surat begins, there's two numbers. You know, one on the right, one on the left. For example, we all know, you know what is the first surat in the Quran to be revealed? Iqra. So when you go to surat Iqra, you'll get a number on the right, number on the left. The number on the right is order of appearance in the Quran. The number on the left, ulama have done some extensive research and put the number in order of revelation of the surat. So number 96, order of appearance in the Quran, and the number on the left is? Number on the left is?
One.
Why? Because it's the first revelation. We go to Surat Noon, the one after Tabarakalladhi. On the right hand side, you get number 68. On the left hand side, Maulana, can you see? Can you see? What number is that?
Number 2.
So this is the second Surat to be revealed. We go to Surat Muzammil. And you will get number 73 on the right hand side, and on the left hand side, you will get number 3. Because Surah Muzammil was the third surah to be revealed. Maulana, can you see? Yeah? Number 3. And then Surah Mudassir is 74 and number 4. And then when we go towards the end, for example, of Surah, towards the end of the Quran, we see Surat Izaja An-Nasrullah, that was the last surat to be revealed. So Surat Izaja, 110 order of appearance in the Quran. But Maulana, can you see what's on the right?
114.
Why? Last surat, there are 114 surahs in the Quran. When we go to Surat Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, on the right hand side, you got 114, because it's last surat of Quran order of appearance, but number 21 is the 21st surat order of revelation. And when we go to Surat, this verse, Suratul Maida, you will find that on the right hand side you get the number 5, and on the left hand side, Maulana, can you see this number? What number that is?
112.
Meaning it is one of the
last.
This surah was revealed at the end of the Prophet's life. So in this surah, that verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. In other words, now the Prophet's mission was coming to close near the very end of the Prophet's life. There were many, many people, they had flocked into Islam. After the conquest of Makkah, they flocked into Islam. Some had come to Medina, seen Rasulullah, they became Sahaba. Many hadn't. They used to live in remote villages somewhere. So Allah prophesied, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, or those who believe, there will be people from amongst you, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ, who will become apostates, abandon Islam, become murtad, become kafir. مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Then when people, when they become apostates, murtads, become kafir after becoming Muslim, what will Allah do? Allah will bring a nation. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِ. You know what qawm means? A nation.
فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ. And this nation will be such, Allah will love them. And not only will Allah love them, يُحِبُّونَهُ, they will love Allah as well. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They will be humble in front of believers, very severe upon the kafir. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, they will make jihad in the path of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, they will not care for anybody's criticism. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This will be the fazl of Allah. Allah gives it to whomsoever Allah wills. Then Allah goes on to say afterwards, أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ, they will be the army of Allah. فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. The army of Allah will be dominant, victorious. So this was very close to the demise of Rasulullah. When Rasulullah passed away, this is exactly what happened. Many people did become murtad. Many people laid a claim to being nubuwwat, to nubuwwat and being nabis, like Musaylimah Kazzab and Tulayha Asadi, Aswad Anasi, and even Saja, a woman. She decided every goal go equality. Everybody wants to be equal. Allahu Akbar. And so even she laid a claim to being a Nabiya. And that Abu Bakr, Allah raised Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he gathered the Sahaba. What did Allah say? فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ, Allah will raise a nation. Who? Number one, يُحِبُّهُمْ. Such a nation, Allah will love them. Allah loves who? Allah doesn't love kafirs. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ, Allah doesn't love kafirs. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ, Allah doesn't love zalims either. Allah curses. There are certain people Allah curses in the Quran. لَانَتُ الْكَاذِبِينَ, لَانَتُ اللَّهِ إِلَى الظَّالِمِينَ, لَانَتُ اللَّهِ إِلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. These are the people Allah curses. Allah also curses أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَهُمُ اللَّانَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ, those who break off ties. And then Allah also curses, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who slander believing women, Allah will curse them in this world and the life hereafter. Was Aisha not a true mu'mina? She was a true mu'mina, beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who hurt Allah and His Rasul, Allah will curse them in this world and the life hereafter. You think when somebody says something nasty to your wife, what do? You feel happy? If somebody curses your wife, you feel happy? Someone slanders or calls her a bad name, you feel happy? So what do you think if somebody slanders Rasulullah's wife, you think he'll be happy? Rasulullah will feel very hurt that somebody is saying something nasty about his wife. And these Shias, that's what they do day and night. On the internet, on YouTube, there are endless clips of Shias cursing Aisha radiallahu anha, cursing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and so on. So Allah said, when people become murtad, what will Allah do? Allah will raise a nation. And what does a nation mean? Is four people nation? Shias, they say, when Rasulullah passed away, everybody with the exception of four became murtad. Is four people a nation? How many people do you need to make a nation? Not just thousands, but hundreds of thousands, or tens of thousands at least. So what did Allah say? When people become murtad, then Allah will raise four people? No, Allah will raise a nation. A nation who Allah loves. And what sort of people does Allah loves? Allah loves those, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And muttaqeen are those with iman. يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And muhsineen are those with the highest level of iman. So Allah raised a nation. Allah raised nation, tens of thousands of people. What sort of people? Allah loved them and they loved Allah. And what else? They were humble in front of believers. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was humble and firm against the kafirs. He didn't compromise. Even the Sahaba said, take it easy, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr said, no! If people, even if the whole Medina became empty and dogs came to bite and eat my body, I will tolerate that. But ayunqasuddin wa ana hayy, deen should decrease or some harm should come and Abu Bakr remain alive? Never. So Abu Bakr dealt with them, organized armies. As Allah had said, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They will make jihad in the path of Allah. They will become irtidad, apostasy. People will become apostates, murtad. Allah will raise a nation. And this happened immediately after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So this prophecy is fitting only and only upon Abu Bakr and the people around him. So the Quran says Abu Bakr was who? A man Allah loved. And not only did Allah love him, Allah loved all the people around him as well. But the Shias want you to believe they all became murtad. This was the only instance in the entire life of Sahaba, because Allah said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O those who believe, another man yartadda minkum. In other words, this irtidad will occur in the lifetime of the people who were around at the time. And it only happened in the time of Abu Bakr. Initially, there was no irtidad in the time of Hazrat Umar, no irtidad in the time of Hazrat Usman, no irtidad in the time of Hazrat Ali. Shias want you to believe that all the Sahaba who fought against Hazrat Ali, they became murtad. But if you try and imply it upon them, then Allah says they were victorious. But Hazrat Ali did not get victory over his opponents. He had to make truce and peace. And at the time, Islamic Khilafat became split into two. The only victory was achieved by Abu Bakr. So this prophecy, within it, it's not just one prophecy. Within it, there are many prophecies. So this prophecy, this ayat of Quran, this ruku is telling us that the people Allah chose, Abu Bakr, the Prophet had already said, Abu Bakr is my friend. In one of these, the Prophet said, if I was to make a friend from anyone, it would be Abu Bakr. He is with Rasulullah in the grave, from the cave into the grave, and rise with him on the day of Qiyamah. But the Quran is telling you as well that Abu Bakr and all his friends are dear to Allah. Allah loves them, they love Allah. Allah gave them victory. Why? They are army of Allah. So anybody who is against Abu Bakr, against Umar, against Aisha, against Hafsa, then he is fighting the army of Allah. So as they say, a friend of your friend is a friend. He might not be your friend, but somebody comes, brother, you know, so and so has sent me. Because you know your friend has sent him. You don't know this man, but your friend has sent him, so you treat him as a friend. So a friend of your friend is a friend. An enemy of your friend, he is also your enemy. Abu Bakr is Allah's friend. Abu Bakr is Rasulullah's friend. So anybody who's an enemy of Abu Bakr, anybody who's enemy of Aisha and burns at their name, believe you me, he's going to burn all the way to hell and for eternity in hell. So it's not just a question of you guys and just listening and just, oh, it doesn't concern us. You might think it doesn't concern you now. But when the virus spreads, you think you can contain it? And it's spreading. And people are falling. And people are catching. And people are dying. So you don't want to die with this virus. You want to save yourselves. And the way to save yourselves, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Join the truthful people. And rather than just truthful, Abu Bakr is Siddiqul Akbar. Abu Bakr is the most truthful of all the truthful people ever. The man Rasulullah gave Siddiq. Anybody else was given titles? MashaAllah. But Rasulullah gave the title of Siddiq to Abu Bakr. Allah says, وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Allah gave truth to Rasulullah. Abu Bakr accepted that truth. And Allah refers to Abu Bakr as Atqa, the man most muttaqi. The man most muttaqi. And people have the audacity to bark at Abu Bakr. They have the audacity to bark at Hazrat Umar. They have the audacity to bark at Aisha radiallahu anha. Finally, you know, when young people get married, mashallah, people with large families, 2, 3, 4 sons, mashallah, when they are all single, everybody is living together.
And but when they get married, 3-4 families begin to, then people can't, if they can afford, mashallah, then they separate. But if a man has got a large house, then what happens usually when there's a daughter-in-law, the young man brings in a bride, he doesn't get on with, his wife doesn't get on with the mother. So what happens? Argument. So what happens? They separate. Young man, he doesn't want any problem, trouble. When the mother picks on his wife, mom, all is fine, but you're picking her for nothing. I'm taking her out. People are sensitive. Wives are very sensitive issue. Allah says in the Quran, "Hunna libasul lakum antum libasul lahunna." They are your garments. You are their garments. You want to wear a nice clean cloth, clean clothes, nice clean jubba, iron looking smart. Your wives are your garments. And mushrika and kafir, Allah says, "Inna mal mushrikuna najas." They are filthy. Kufr and shirk is filth. So you think when Allah says your wife is a garment, if Aisha radiallahu anha, na'uzu billah, had anything but pure, sincere iman, you think Allah will clothe His beloved Prophet with a bride who was najis, na'uzu billah? Never. So anybody who thinks Aisha, Abu Bakr, Umar, na'uzu billah, were anything but Muslims and mu'mins, rather the best ever, then that person has got another thing coming. In the eyes of Allah, such people. You know, in English we say big, bigger, and then biggest. Strong, stronger, strongest. These are categories. Somebody who burns at the names of Sahaba isn't just a kafir. He is the filthiest kafir going. Please, Quran again. And this dalil from the Quran. Many people want dalils. Ayat of Surah Hajj. Allah says, "Inna Allah yudafi'u 'anil ladina amanu." Allah defends the believers. When this ayat was revealed, who were the believers? Sahaba. Sahaba were believers. So Allah defended them. Allah comes to their defense. When do you need defending? When somebody is trying to attack you. So Allah says, "I will defend the believers." When? When they're attacked. Attacked by who? Inna Allah yudafi'u 'anil ladina amanu. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla khawanin kafur. And like I was saying, big, bigger, biggest, you get alim. Alim means someone who knows that he's an alim. Next degree, like bigger, alim. Highest degree, alam. Similarly, ghafir means someone who forgives, very forgiving. Ghafoor, extremely forgiving. Ghaffar. Alim, alim, alam. Ghafir, ghafoor, ghaffar. Kafir, kafoor, kafar. Allah says, these people who attack Sahaba, believers, Allah is defending them. So when Allah is defending them, who are their enemies? Not just kafirin. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla khawanin kafur. They are severe, filthy kafirs. Why? Because they are attacking Allah's friends. Two people Allah has challenged to war. One in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wadharu ma baqiya minar riba. فَإِلَّمْ تَفَعْلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You want to eat interest? You carry on, but you're at war with Allah. Second person, Rasulullah said in Hadith, Al-Hadith Qudsi, Allah says, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Anybody got a problem with any of my friends? Allah says, come, let me sort you out. You're at war with Allah. Abu Bakr and Umar aren't just friends of Allah. They are beloveds of Allah. Because the Quran is saying, يُحِبُّهُمْ. Allah loves them. So anybody got a problem with Abu Bakr and Umar and Aisha, you are not just at war with them. Allah is an all-out war with such people. May Allah save us all. May Allah guide us all to the right path. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وجل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى يا الله forgive our sins and guide us out to the right path يا الله we seek your forgiveness and mercy and blessings يا الله for us and all the people hereby present their families their parents their children brothers and sisters and friends يا الله especially those who are suffering in different parts of the world يا الله have mercy upon them all and keep them in your protection. And most of all, Ya Allah, keep our imans in your protection, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to live like Muslims, die like Muslims, and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Grant us your love, love for your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and love for, Ya Allah, his family, love for his companions, Ya Allah, love for the people that you love, Ya Allah. Make us your beloveds as well, Ya Allah. Guide us, our sons and daughters, young and old, rich and poor, men and women, our public and our rulers, Ya Allah. Guide us all to the right path, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all hardship, problem, suffering of this world and the life hereafter, Ya Allah. As long as we remain alive, keep us on Islam. When our time comes to leave this world, Ya Allah, take us away on Iman. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala.